the Kintech studio. Kintech, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Find your perfect fit at kintech.net. I'm Bic, behind the glass. Dom, it's Ben, running the show today. And you, the people, 604-280-0650. If something's on your mind, pick up that phone line, 1-888-275-0650. Also, 650-650, our Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Dunbar Lumber, three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street. Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center or Arbutus in Vancouver. Online at dunbarlumber.com. After game one, the vibes are so good. The weather was fantastic. The city was smiling after game two. Have you ever seen the rain? A reminder that the highs and lows of playoff hockey can bring tales of misery alongside it.
Gotta stay level, Bic.
Gotta stay level. Hey, if you take the highs, you know, 19 degrees the other day, and today with the moisture just in the middle, you're like, hey, it's
average it out.
14 degree day.
Exactly.
That's it. 14 degree day.
Yeah, we're living easy, Bic.
You gotta feel like Jay-Z, man. On to the next one.
Yep.
But you gotta put out track after track after track.
No yips at the 650 room.
Oh, we said it. We said it. We were debating this before the show. The word yips has been said too many times.
Overused.
Yeah. And you got, what, 98 seconds?
Got it out of the way. Now we can move past it.
I don't know. We got the yips, man. I don't know.
No, we don't. I just want to stop saying it.
Then let's stop.
It's a term that bothers
me. Do you not like it because you're a golfer?
Yes. It just is something that like actually gets me upset. That's like if someone says shank, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear hosel, shank.
Sounds like someone who's weak mentally.
No,
can't
it
handle
just sounds
the pressure.
Like, I don't like, it's like a curse word.
You think Kobe would?
It's like saying seven by the craps table.
Pardon me?
Like, you're not supposed to say
I've
seven.
I've never heard that.
Right.
So
exactly.
You're not supposed to say seven or
no, snake eyes, right?
Well, yeah, whatever the number is. Yeah. Like, you're never supposed to say it.
Yeah, or
is
you it don't 11? Want to say, like, shout
no,
out
seven.
Or something.
It's definitely seven.
Yeah. You know, it's hot when it's
20 degrees out
in the inbox. How about a healthy scratch for Elias Pettersson? All right. Competing in the inbox. Love to see it. Keep it coming. And we got some things to give away, too. So stay tuned for that as well. We'll start with the tee, though.
The piping hot tee of the day, Bic.
It's been brewing.
Elias Pettersson is struggling.
What was that voice?
I'm Joe Namath. I don't care if the team is struggling.
That one was better. Because you got to fit an A in there somewhere. It's like the struggling.
Struggling.
yesterday, misses the empty net. And that's the highlight that a lot of people are going to stand out. You know what's...
That's not the highlight I'm thinking of.
No, look, there's a couple highlights. I'll get to them. It's frustrating because a lot of people wanted to see a more puck-dominant player from game one to game two, especially in the offensive zone. Winds up taking 9 shot attempts. Right? Like, so he's on the puck. There's attempts to create. And yet it's 9 shot attempts, 0 shots on goal. And leaving many people frustrated. And it was an improved version of it offensively. Again, on the puck, trying to make things happen. Trying to feather a pass to Connor Garland on that play. And yet you leave Rogers Arena yesterday, or you turn off the TV yesterday, feeling unsatisfied. You know, a big problem for me, too, is, you know, I said this after game one, where a lot of people were like, hey, this guy's doing this guy's doing that. It, for me, like, what a bad game looks like is extreme, like, detrimental to your team's chance of winning. You have an ineffective night offensively, it happens, but are you hurting your team on the defensive side of the puck? Yesterday, Elias Pettersson hurt his team defensively. First goal, he beats Beauvillier to the boards. He beats Beauvillier to the puck. His stick is on the inside. Or sorry, on the outside. He's got a path to the puck. Doesn't do it. Doesn't get it done. Puck goes to the point. Forsberg gets a shot. And it's Beauvillier who peels off of that little exchange, gets to the slot, is able to tip it. Not good enough in that moment. The third goal, Colton Sisson's goal. Doesn't shoulder check to see where Besser is or where Hoglander is. Sends a puck into the middle of the ice. And it's a bad play. Gets created thereafter. In comes Beauvillier. And I think he was actually going to close down, but nevertheless. Rebound. Sissons beat Pettersson to the puck. 3-0 in a big play. Didn't make a big play. And you go through it, like, elements to things to like in the offensive zone. Didn't get the puck on net. And you're left feeling unsatisfied. But to me, Patterson made two plays where it looked like he was auditioning for a role in the remake of the Marlon Wayans 1998 classic Senseless. There were two senseless plays. He's better than that. We all know he's better than that. He can be a fantastic player. But those two plays chalks up two goals for the Nashville Predators. And they go get their split in Rogers Arena. They're going back home feeling fantastic about where the series is at. But those two plays are the ones that stick out to me. Yes, the empty netter, that one sucks. I think we need more respect at times that this is a game played on ice and things just miss sometimes. You'd expect him to hit it. But if you play to that level of on-the-puck creation in this series, Elias Pettersson will get his points. But that commitment in a game where your backup goalie was in, defensively, that needed to be sharper in those two plays. And we'll see what the Canucks can do moving forward. What's next in the tee here?
From Rick Tocchet's mouth to your ears.
Mizey had the flu today. He was really under the weather. And then Demmer got a value today. He's going to be probably week to week.
Week to week for Thatcher Demko. That doesn't sound encouraging. We've seen week to week get extended in the city as well. So I know Woodley was talking on Donnie and Dolly. He'll be on Canuck Central later today as well, mentioning it could be even out for round two. So the Canucks are going to have to live in a reality, which we discussed hypothetically. What if he wasn't available for the playoffs and Casey DeSmith, you know, wasn't the reason they lost yesterday? Just felt like a Casey DeSmith performance for me, where made one big save against Ryan O'Reilly. And then there were some other moments where I think if the Predators are rewatching today, and you know they are, I imagine they're going to say, hey, we got to fire more shots. We just got to pepper this guy. Because the Forsberg one where he shoots it and it lands right at his skates and he's got no idea. Like, there was a couple of skittish moments where if you're the Predators thinking, hey, there's opportunities. If we just shoot more, is the second chance, third chance going to be available to us. And we just got to be more willing to engineer those shots. So that one, we'll see how that develops.
Even
and
the third goal. The third goal is exactly that, right? It's a rebound that comes out into the slot.
Now, look, it's Beauvillier, like, basically at the dots.
Right. And it's a tough one.
It's a tough one.
But it's an example of, like, hey, if we put shots on this guy, like, rebounds could go anywhere.
They might be there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's one, like, Demko might just swallow that one.
Right.
That's a difference, though. Tyler Myers.
I find ourselves constantly having the conversation, and in the weeks, you know, with the Demko injury, like, being like, that loss isn't on DeSmith or Seelovs or anybody. But we don't never have the conversation of, well, that wins because of them. And sure. So the thing with Demko is, like, would Demko have made that save or whatever? And we can't compare that. We just have to try to have solid goaltending in this city for the fans here. Like, you can expect solid goaltending. And or at least hope for that, and then hope that the guys up front can manufacture more than one goal. It's hard to win a game when your team just scores once.
It really is, and
it comes down to that too.
Yeah, like that's why it's not on him yet.
No,
the result yesterday.
But as a goalie, when your team is not scoring, that's an added pressure.
It
like
is.
Okay, my guys aren't finishing these wide open net chances.
And he didn't have a lot of work yesterday.
No,
right? Like it was a light night. 18 shots on goal.
Luongo always talked about how he liked getting lots of shots on. Mm-hmm. He liked to feel the puck early, get engaged in the game. It'd be interesting to hear what Woodley has to say, too, about going long stretches and durations without really any serious action in front of you.
Well, that's also the reality that might be created right now in this series, right? It's not Edmonton. It's not Carolina that would chuck a bunch of rubber at the net. It's not Dallas who would do that. It's Nashville. And they're going to send a lot of bodies forward in the opportunities that present themselves, actually in all their advances up the ice. But they, right now, through two games, look very comfortable sitting back and blocking everything. The other one there, Tyler Myers, the flu, we'll see how that develops. But clearly,
I would say that's good news.
That it's not a
muscle major injury.
Hey, man, that flu, look, it knocked me out for 10 days. So
Yeah, but Tyler Myers is built different. No offense, Vic, but
yeah, but
pro
I,
athlete there versus
he's also got to be a pro athlete.
Sedentary.
Tockett was sounding a little bit hoarse during the post game interview too.
Oh well, the other game.
Where do you
right?
think he like, got it from?
Game 82.
Coughing
right?
it
he
up.
He doesn't meet with media, right, and all mm-hmm. that sort of stuff. So it's clearly been going around for the group, and it's been going around in the city. How many people have taken a sick day here recently?
Not me.
Not me.
Yes, you built different.
Okay. Yes, we are, Vic. Yes, we are.
What else we got in the tea?
You disagreed with this
Have
one.
Have some tea, by the way, if you are feeling under the weather.
Yeah, emergency.
Yeah.
As you like to use. but yeah, you walked into Rogers Arena yesterday with like a Costco-sized pack of emergency. What was up with that?
Just always be prepared, man.
Clearly.
Always be prepared. Like Scar, be prepared. That's a deep reference.
Wow, what a reference.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Way, best song of that soundtrack.
Yeah.
Well, that's a hot take. That's a piping hot
He's got
take.
I said best, not most popular. Most popular is obviously Hakuna Matata. But,
no. Can You Feel Love Tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Bang.
Man, that is a soundtrack right
there. Bang!
Let's just play there. Yeah, Mike
bang,
Breen.
Bang.
Mike Breen behind the glass here.
What a pull.
Oh, my goodness.
What a night the other day. We got a double bang from Mike Breen and
Jamal
Harlan.
Yeah.
Yeah! I can't even do it, but he got the 18 O's good.
Kevin Harlan is my Mount Rushmore of play-by-play guys.
Ooh, that's a fun debate.
Yeah.
Anyways, carry on.
You disagreed with this in the pregame chat. Mm-hmm. Tough night for Noel Juulsen.
Okay, so this is interesting. The penalties stand out, obviously. The interference one, in the heat of the moment, I was like, oh, like Ian Cole just did something very similar. On a rewatch, he engages him with him too early, and it's like Susie's in the way, so that's an interference. The slash is like... Dude, this is playoff hockey. You can't lovingly drape a stick right there. Like it was a love tap. It was nothing. That one is the one that frustrates me. The penalties obviously mounted. I thought, so for me, and we discussed this on the post-game show and during the intermission, myself, Sat, and Brett Festerling, the Forsberg goal, to me, that's on Lindholm, not Juulsen, right? Juulsen's up against the boards. He's fighting with Forsberg. Puck squirts free. The closest guy to it is Noah Juulsen. So he goes after it. Nyquist pokes it back down to Forsberg. Lindholm's protecting like the right post where Juulsen would be and decides to jump towards the boards where Dakota Joshua already is. And he opens up the space for Forsberg to make that move and a little backhand forehand upstairs on Casey DeSmith. So that one for me was on Lindholm. I understand what everyone's talking about. Like, Juulsen's at fault there. So I didn't pin that one on Noel Juulsen, which is why we kind of got into our spirited debate about it. But I also thought, like, okay, if you want to pin that on Juulsen, he also made up for it because he's the one that helps create the only goal of the game. Because that puck goes out of the zone. Who's the one that steps up and sweeps it back in for Sam Lafferty to get that rush chance? And the whole sequence stays in the zone. All because Noah Juulsen's the one that steps up, creates that turnover on a loose puck with Lozon activating and overskates it. And that all gets created because Noah Juulsen. So you got to give him credit for that one too. So if you want to say he made a mistake, to me also offset it. Whereas someone like we're talking about, Elias Pettersson, made two mistakes, didn't offset it, didn't get his game back to equal. So for me, Noah Juulsen did okay. Now, he didn't play like Tyler Myers did in game one, no doubt.
There's also different levels of expectations for these two players.
Absolutely. But hey, Juulsen stepped up on a couple of guys, too. Rocks Cole Smith. Rocks, I forget who else it was. But he ended the night with a lot of hits. I thought Noel Juulsen did more than fine. Now, look, he wasn't playing 19 minutes like Tyler Myers does. And the expectation shouldn't be there that he should do that. But ends up playing 11-24, five hits. Five hits in a game for Noel Juulsen.
The Sportsnet employee that I sit next to during games gave me a little tap on the side and said, that slashing penalty is just because the Canucks have had two penalties.
Precisely. Precisely.
Preds have had none.
Precisely.
So.
There was also a blatant too many men and a tripping penalty
that
didn't get called.
I love playoff officiating, don't you?
It wasn't about the officials last night, though.
It was not.
It never is.
Yeah.
Never
and,
is.
Like, when the crowd is screaming like all this stuff to the refs, like, well, your power play is 0-5, so maybe.
Speaking of which,
mad at the players.
Special teams, special plays, special players. PK's doing well, Bick. The power play, not so much.
The play we're all going to talk about is the Pettersson pass to Garland. You watch that whole sequence.
Are you about to defend Pettersson?
No, like that play. Like they did so much good work. Like the entry is so good. The play where it's Hughes bringing up the puck, it goes wide to Miller, slides it all the way back to Pettersson, and all the Preds are below the red line. And he sneaks past O'Reilly, gains the zone. They do that tic-tac-toe play right to Pettersson. It's, dude, you got to shoot that. You just got to shoot that. That's the play we talked about last night. You shoot it. Like, Saros is almost like swimming already, and he doesn't shoot it. And they don't get their goal. Power play, yeah, they got to score, man. They got to score. Found a lot of good looks. And it feels like the Predators actually are just playing 4-on-4. And just leaving one side open. There's a couple of sequences where all four Predators, if you draw that imaginary line down the middle of the ice, all four Predators are on one side. And they're just saying, hey, if it goes over there, we're going to trust Saros to beat that guy. And sometimes that guy was JT Miller and opted to pass or not a good enough shot or whatever it was. They were just willing to dare. It's like, go ahead, swing it around. And they gave up seam passes all night. It's frustrating, man. The whole thing came down to just hit the net. And even on the power play, it's... The chances were there.
Yeah, but the zone entries in that just first not period. That.
On the first one, Miller had some issues on a couple of entries.
So I wanted to ask you, multiple times on the broadcast, both radio and TV last night, it was mentioned that the Canucks seemed to be aiming for UC Saros' blocker side and trying to pick that side. They might have seen something in film, but it seemed like they were doing that. The Zadorov goal was on the blocker side. How much is them missing the net because they're aiming for such a small portion of something that they're trying to really fine-tunely hit?
Yeah, absolutely, right? And look, you follow your pre-scout to a certain degree. But if you're at the stage now where you've missed as many shots as the Canucks have through two games, simplify it a little bit, right? Like, you're being very, very precise.
On that point, sitting where I'm sitting, and I think it's the south end of the bowl, watching the Canucks take their shots, it almost felt like they weren't aiming for the net, but it felt like every time Hronek or Hughes took a slapper from the point, it's almost like they were aiming subtly right off the net, hoping for like a tip-in or a bounce. They were never just aiming for the net.
That's their game.
Right?
Like, that's what they do.
But a big,
like,
part of
all season
game.
Long, yeah.
But every time, it was for naught. One last thing I wanted to clear up with you. I wasn't privy to it, or you didn't tweet anything. The t-shirt parachutes last night. Did Sack get redemption?
I videotaped when they came out, and they started dropping. No parachutes made it to Horch Press Row. And Sat turned at me and saw that I was videotaping and wasn't too pleased and dropped a coward. And yeah. But yeah, I was trying to capture it. Didn't happen. All right. One thing that stood out to me as well yesterday, as like the overwhelming pressure was towards the Nashville Predators goal, the edge that they have that we talked about after game one was, hey, you can go Pettersson, Miller, Lindholm down the middle, and you should be in control of the game. And again, through two games, they've been in control and carried the play. Now they've been behind or in equal score settings a lot. They've only led for 11 minutes. But their edge has really been shown out here because they can carry the play with those three guys. I do wonder yesterday if you can't just trust Teddy Bluger to beat a Colton Sissons in a matchup. If you can't trust Teddy Bluger to beat a Michael McCarron in a matchup. And is this insistent of going those three centers down the middle, creating some inefficiencies along the wing? Because right now, just do this exercise. Text in this exercise yourself. What wingers, like, rank the wingers in your mind that have been effective through the two games? Because right now it's Dakota Joshua with the bullet.
Can you fill a podium?
He's number one. Yeah, like, can you actually fill the podium? It's Dakota Joshua number one with the bullet.
And then?
I'd probably take Pew Suter. It's a debate between Suter and Garland for me.
I was going to say Garland.
Yeah. Garland helps create the Joshua goal. He looks a bit more active than Suter in general.
So your 40 goal scorer is not on the podium.
I think Suter's been actually really good through two games here.
Could have buried last night.
Whoa, look, Pettersson misses an empty net. Suter misses an empty net. Joshua misses an empty net.
Lafferty on a breakaway doesn't get a shot on net.
Now, mind you, they end up scoring on that whole sequence.
Right.
But so I can forgive that one. But to me, the three best wingers have been Joshua, Garland, Suter. And Joshua's number one easily. You can flip-flop the other two for me.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else, Mikheyev maybe might be fourth.
That's a serious problem that Brock Besser's not in the top four
Huge.
Or five.
Huge.
And this has not been spoken enough about it. And I know you and I have this thing where we'll bring this up and other people, like this text box has been going all day about Pettersson. And not once has anybody put the name Brock Besser in there. And there's been a lot of attention on the Demko situation and DeSmith and obviously Pettersson. Brock Besser has not done enough for this team through two games. He's on a line with JT Miller, and he's not doing enough. And Miller drove that line in the first game, and every host on this station praised that line in the first game for driving play. And yeah, they were playing against maybe an inferior line. Besser hasn't been a no-show, and that includes on the power play.
He's got the one assist, which came on the Suter goal, which was him just sliding the puck up to Hughes. Hughes finds his way into the middle of the ice, gets that shot through.
A nice hockey assist.
Exactly. Described perfectly there. And this is why I started to wonder in these last 15 hours, is that nice edge you have, do you even need to exercise it right now? Because if Teddy Bluger can't be relied upon to win a matchup versus McCarron and Colton Sissons, then that might speak to a bigger issue. But if you want to talk about putting guys next to Elias Pettersson, do you reinvent Lindholm, Mikheyev, and Pettersson? Or do you do...
I would do Joshua and Garland. I would give them two wingers that have chemistry that are driving play right now and say, hey, you want to get going? We're going to give you the two guys that are going.
Joshua and Garland and then Lindholm, Miller, Besser?
Yeah. And then you have Bluger as your third line center with Suter and Mikheyev.
The worry would be, and it's something you brought up to me, is you're on the road now.
Right.
Right, and so... does it create an opportunity for Ryan O'Reilly to get out there against someone?
Just wouldn't do that juggling of lines until game four, potentially, if you lose on Friday. If you win on, I don't want to be in a situation on Friday where the Canucks load up two lines and then can find themselves with the O'Reilly line against the Bluger line or a fourth line because of just matchup, having last change, things like that. And so I think having depth down the middle on the road is even more important to give yourself some leeway and some grace to be confident to have most of your lines out there and that they can be productive, they can be responsible in their own end, and produce also at a decently high rate. But if it doesn't work on Friday, mm-hmm. and Pettersson again is a 0 point guy, I think you need to seriously consider giving him Joshua and Garland, who have proven throughout the season and the first two games that they can manufacture opportunities.
Yeah, they've been the best too. Or Joshua for sure has been the best winger of this team so far through two games. Well, it's something I want to debate with Randy Bjando as well, ranking the wingers so far through two games. All right, Janda's on the other side.
Ranking
you hear
what?
Him, the wingers.
Hey,
I said it right both times. All right, I mentioned we have some things to give away. The viewing party at Rogers Arena for Game 3. You can win some tickets to it between the Canucks and Preds. Not only that, you also get VIP tickets to the VIP skate, which is taking place at the arena 11 to noon on Friday as well. You can go down and be part of the skate, come back later for the viewing party as well. The seats for the viewing party will be in the club section, a special Rogers section, and will include snacks and pop. Skate, pop, and a snack. You can pick it up, 604-280-0650, 1-888-275-0650. If you are caller number, what are we going to go with? Let's go with 3 for game 3. There we go. Giving tickets away to the viewing party, 604-280-0650. Canucks playoff coverage on Sportsnet 650, brought to you by All Seasons Roofing. Sun, rain, wind, or snow, All Seasons Roofing has you covered with end-to-end roofing services. For your free quote, visit allseasonsroofing.ca. Back in a minute here on The People Show, Sportsnet 650.